When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
co-host Catherine Brandt,
Andy Brandt Bernard,
and Cassie Schrader. This is really fun. Watching Catherine trying to get lotion out of the bottle.
Yeah, you're on camera. I don't know if you know that or not.
Hi.
You look like a lunatic.
Very thick lotion, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. We'll be right back with the family. Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. So what's the latest?
Well, latest is we're representing people who are injured through no fault of their own. People come to us. We talk to them about what their rights are. We talk to them about things that, you know, adjusters would call them up and ask them about. And we represent people in order to get them justice for the injured.
And have been for a long time. Very, very successful. No question. I do meet a lot of your clients. They come up to me on the street and whatever, and they talk about this, that, or the other thing. And they both say, why do you guys hang out with Doug Sprinthal? And I just had no answer for he just looks away, you big baby. In any case, that's the whole deal. So people, they got any problem whatsoever, personal injury or other legal problems, whatever, they just reach out to Bradshaw and Bryant.
Yeah, Joe and I have both been president of the trial lawyers for the state, so we talk to people about all sorts of issues. The consultation is always free, and that's what we do.
Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. Tom here from my friends at Walser Automotive Group with some exciting news. Walser's rolling out Walser Care on new and most used cars they sell in Minnesota. Well, Walser Care is a powertrain warranty with coverage for 10 years or 150,000 miles. Powertrain coverage is like major medical coverage for your car. Engines, transmissions, all the really expensive stuff is covered. In addition, Walser Care includes 24-hour roadside assistance. Lock your keys in your car, run out of gas, you have a flat tire. Guess what? Walser has your back. The best thing about Walser Care, it's free with purchase. That's right, I said free. So, if you're shopping for a new or used Subaru, Honda, Nissan, Mazda, Toyota, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Hyundai, or Chevrolet, see my friends at Walser and get Walser Care for free. And no business I know. Well, I get to start my week on the podcast hearing about Tim Lammer's package. That's all I needed.
Packing heat, brother.
Packing heat, baby. That's all I know.
You need heat today.
You're packing heat. There's no question.
Yeah, no, I just got a delivery from UPS, and they were daring enough. Actually, I live up on a hill. They were daring enough to power through and drive up and clear a path for all the other vehicles.
Neither snow nor
sleet. Very happy.
No. Yeah, it was triple drive time this morning.
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent an hour driving to a walkthrough and 15 minutes at the walkthrough. So that was fun. Yeah, love that.
So we got a couple of things to talk about. So I'll just jump in whenever you're ready, because I want to ask you a couple of things when you're at a convenient time in your report. Let's put it that way.
Well, you can start right now if you want, whenever.
What the hell happened? To that kids movie, what's it called? Playmobil.
Oh,
what? Yeah. Playmobil.
Because there's no E at the end of it; it just says mobile.
Oh, really?
Playmobil is an old brand of child's toys.
Wasn't it like?
Yeah, they're actually. Yeah. They've been around a long time.
They were started in West Germany.
Oh. That tells you nine.
There's a movie?
Movie is a complete stiff.
Is it?
I hadn't even heard of it.
It was not a good weekend for movies.
It was not at all.
Especially new movies. I don't even know. Where Where did that one end up on
Playmobil?
The old list?
Came in, I believe, 16th. It opened in 16th place. $288 per theater.
I didn't even know it was a movie until I went and saw Frozen 2. So I was looking at movie times. And I was like, what is this movie? I didn't even know it was coming out. And I'm like, Playmobil.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
I don't think they did a lot of pre-selling that thing.
They could have marketed that a lot better.
Yeah.
Playmobil,
yeah,
the movie.
They were trying to,
let's see. Ooh.
Thinking there was going to be another Lego movie. I
yeah.
Internationally, it did great. Domestically, it made $600,000.
Ooh.
did it kill it in Germany?
I bet, Hasselhoff? Let's see.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff and Playmobil.
It made 20 times internationally what it did domestically.
Well, yeah. I don't
know. 12 million.
Is that something the kids even play with anymore? I remember they were big when you were a little kid.
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe they're not.
So I don't even know if kids are familiar with the brand
you
here.
You see them in specialty shops.
Okay.
And, you know, like the creative kid stuff sort of places.
Okay. So
and there's a little special area in Target, like by the educational toys. So obviously they don't have the mass appeal that Legos
do. See, it killed it in France.
Oh, really?
Well, but yeah, that makes sense because the unemployment rate in France is 8.5%, so they don't have anything to do.
They got nothing better to do.
Germany was number two.
But how do they spend money to get in?
True.
Well, I'm sure they're all on the dole in France. Isn't that a socialist outfit, isn't it?
They're not all on the dole.
Yeah, Western Europe, it did really well. So I'm guessing Playmobil is largely a... It's like for... We got Lego, they got Playmobil, that kind of thing. So...
Look, it was just a... I don't understand it, how... You would think during the holiday season there would be a big movie coming out every weekend, and that's not the case.
No. How it used to be. Yeah,
it used to be. And last weekend, the biggest release you got was actually an expansion of the film that I reviewed on KQ on Thursday, which is Dark Waters. So that was a limited release, and then it expanded to wide last weekend. But then you have Jumanji and Richard Jewell both coming out this week.
Oh.
Why didn't one of those films open on this past weekend? You think they would have done a lot better business instead of going head to head against each other this weekend? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, they must be doing their market research, and that's what it tells them to do. I don't have any
Or they
idea.
Just probably figured they'd get their ass kicked by Frozen anyway. So they
Frozen
okay,
2.
How did
good
Frozen
week.
2 do?
Huge.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah, it was number one again.
Jesus.
Yeah, $34 million.
I loved
you know, which
it.
Is
did you love it?
A great release mm-hmm. for any. First week for any film, and this is the third week. So, you know, yeah, it's going to be another billion-dollar worldwide movie if it isn't already.
I've seen it twice.
Almost. $900 million.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it
it's
twice.
It's headed there.
So. I saw it twice, once on a preview and then once with children.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, the kids were all the kids were surprisingly quiet
really?
Through most of the movie. The Samantha joke...
Yeah.
Carries on for months.
Samantha joke is huge.
Yeah. Fawn
is still
running.
Samantha.
Yeah. Fawn is still running around going, Samantha!
She's still doing
it. Oh, I love that flurry fluff ball of Olaf.
I know. Yeah, Olaf
so,
is a great character.
Oh, God,
character.
Yeah, Olaf's a wonderful
I
character.
I actually liked the movie better the second time.
Really?
You like this? Which one better?
Frozen. I saw it twice, and I liked Frozen 2 better the second time. So that's how
you know,
I felt.
I loved that. You know, and it's one of those films you really should see on the big screen because
it is
beautiful.
You have to see it on a big screen. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. First time you see it, you better see it on a big screen. See, if it were me that said that, I would have said, we've seen it twice. I wouldn't have said, I saw it twice. Yeah, don't worry about my feelings.
I forgot that you went to the preview.
I forget you were alive, honey. Don't worry about it.
Well, you normally don't go to that stuff.
I don't. You're absolutely right. I usually can't get that working.
So I just block you out.
Oh, I feel much better about myself now. That's good. That's a wonderful thing.
Well, you didn't
Tommy, let me give you something you could feel good about. My wife keeps talking about how she cannot believe how beautiful your blue eyes are.
Mine?
How about that?
There.
Yeah.
Well, I was like your wife. I just want you to know.
Yeah, yeah. She keeps saying it's like shit.
Tell her to back off.
That's the only thing that Catherine likes about me. That's it.
I guess she's hinting here. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing that Catherine likes.
We screened it with Catherine and I'm trying to give some context to the situation. Patty and I saw the film with Catherine and Tommy.
Yes. Yep, we did. So. We all saw it together. So I talked about this on the air briefly. This has nothing to do with entertainment, but I just want to point this out again. So I go to give Catherine a kiss last night, and she goes, "Oh, my God, your breath is horrendous." I had just brushed my teeth and flossed.
You hold on to garlic like...
It was garlic from 3 days earlier. Well, it just won't leave me.
No, you're just... My dad was like that, too.
Oh,
my
was he?
Dad could... Yeah, he could have a little bit of garlic. He'd smell like garlic for a month.
Why it is... I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Some people just do. Alex is like that, too. If she eats garlic, her breath is just horrible for days.
That was really nice. Your breath stinks. Oh, let me give you another kiss.
I'm sorry. It just did. You don't need to share everything.
Yes,
about
you do.
Our lives with
everything.
Everybody.
Everything.
Can I bring something up, Tim?
Nope, you're out.
I saw a movie on the plane. It was American Woman with...
Oh.
Annette
Bening?
No.
Or is that something... maybe I'm thinking
Anna Kendrick's? The redhead with the... Everything big?
With everything big? What does that mean? Her butt and her breasts?
Yes.
Is that everything
That's
to you?
That's her name, right? I got it right.
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick, yeah.
Yeah.
American Woman, I don't think, had Anna Kendrick in it.
It did, too.
Never heard of it.
It did not.
I thought it was American Girl or something.
Are you talking about American Woman, the movie about...
That just was out.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah, no Anna Kendrick.
That is not true.
Christina Hendricks?
That's the one.
Oh, Christina Hendricks.
There you go.
Yeah, it was
I got
one of those
some
K's
part of it
or
right.
something. Kendricks, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a very depressing movie. When did that come out? I don't even remember
last
it being
year.
Out of
I
the
don't
theater.
Even recall hearing I didn't even hear about it. This is the first
2019.
I've heard of it.
Came out last year and made $200,000. So
Sienna Miller was in it.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I mean, Sienna Miller, I mean, you'd think that would do better.
Yeah, very notable people. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, even movies with Al Pacino once in a while will come out and nobody has seen them.
Yep.
You know,
it's true.
Distributors, and if it's a small-time distributor, it just...
Yeah, it was something.
Sometimes it's plays in two theaters and it opens on video on demand at the same time. You know?
Mm. Well, right. I saw it on the airplane, and... It was very well done, very well acted. It just was so incredibly depressing that I can't imagine anybody
you
wanting
couldn't
to
hang.
See it. Very depressing.
I
well,
see
that's
that.
Why a movie like Dark Waters, you know, that opened in sixth in wide release because it's about you know, a chemical company being accused of poisoning the residents of a city, 70,000 people. You know, it's not the sort of movie you want to run out and see, but it's a very, very good movie. But yeah, I can see. I mean, you got to just, especially holiday season, you got to have light and happy.
Yeah, that would help. And also, I just think with our political climate being so crappy and everybody being so upset with each other. I just don't know if people want heavy content.
Yeah, probably
like
not.
Not only the political climate. I think there's been a glut, or there was a glut of, like, depressing movies for a while there. I felt like for a few years that's all that came out was, like, sad stuff. And I think people just got sick of it.
Yeah, it could be. So,
well, I have to tell you about a movie. It is depressing because depressing things happen in it. Doesn't open till next month, but it's going to get a limited release, and I can't talk too much about it yet. It's called 1917. It takes place during World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Follows two soldiers on a suicide mission. The movie is done in one shot. Except for, I mean, obviously there's digital editing going on. They didn't film it in one day, but it takes place over the course of these guys delivering a message to some troops behind enemy lines. One of the most incredible movies I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
Did you cry?
Incredible. And I swear I can't review it. Well, I guess I just talked about it. But, you know, but again, it's not it's obviously not a feel good movie in that sort of way, because it's war, it's hellish for these guys, but yet it's important to see. It's an important reminder of, you know, these troops, they were British troops, you know, but they're allies, and man, what these guys went through.
I see that.
Got to appreciate, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
I see Midway's a stiff. That's too bad.
Yeah. I don't know.
Millennials don't care about that kind of stuff. They just don't care.
No.
Well, they certainly should care about.
They don't.
Our history as a nation.
The only thing they care about in history is slavery and the Nazis.
Yes, that's pretty
basically
much
all of history, according to Western audiences.
It's been a lot.
Well, having said that, though, Harriet is a terrific movie. I mean, it's depressing as all hell, you know, at first, especially.
Yeah.
Before she ran away from, her husband was free, but they would not let her. Well, you got to see the movie. I mean, plus you know the history already, but yeah, I mean, so it was very well done. I mean, and you hope at least, if that's the only movies they're going to make historically, that people still go see them.
Yeah.
Because it's really important.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can't ever lose sight of that.
That's very true. Catherine, one of Catherine's favorite movies, was a total bomb, was the fifth worst movie of the year. What's it called? What's Your Face, Bernadette? Was it?
Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
What's Your Face?
I don't know what it's called.
Well, I had actually already seen it when it first came out, because I read the book and I liked the book.
Yeah, everybody liked the book.
But Alex had book club over at our house, and we watched the movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, everybody was talking during the movie, so didn't really get to watch it.
Oh, you didn't get to watch it again anyway. Yeah,
but I didn't love the movie in the first place.
Yeah, so the movie's nowhere near as good as the book.
I didn't think that they cast it right, and I think that they just left out some major pieces of the book that, you know, once I read a book and then I watch the movie, I almost always like the book better.
That's why J.D. Salinger said you will never make a movie out of Catcher in the Rye. It's never going to happen.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that would be tough.
Oh, that'd be hard to make that movie.
But, I mean, now the movie.
Where'd You Go, Bernadette made a blistering $10 million worldwide, 9.1 here.
Oh,
so that was a stiff, I'm guessing.
Total stiff.
Not so good.
That's not good at all.
You got people like Kate Blanchett in it, and that's your star. And plus, there were some other notable people in it, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of her neighbor, what actress that was, and her husband was. I mean, you recognize quite a few people in it. It just was. Everybody was just kind of a jerk in the movie. Yeah, you know, it just was.
You gotta have likable characters.
Yeah, nobody was very likable. Her
daughter. But they're all Alex's friends, though. So. Oh, you mean in the actual movie? I thought you meant in the movie theater.
Oh wow, what a cast! Kristen Wiig, Judy Greer, Megan Mullally, Steve Zahn, Lawrence Fishburne. Holy!
Well,
smoke.
Those guys just did little tiny interviews on videotape. They weren't actually in the movie. They just did a little tiny cameo. Lawrence Fishburne and stuff. Oh, wait, he did show up. He did show up for a while, so he was a little bit more than a cameo, but they had a lot of people just pop up. It just wasn't good. The direction, it wasn't good.
We shall take a break, just a couple of seconds. We're back more with Timmy. Timmy's got a bunch to talk about, a couple more movies I want to ask him about. So we will be right back with Tim Lammers and the family.
Tom Bernard with my buddy and CEO of North American Banking Company, Michael Bilski. Tell me, Michael, we've been talking about North American Banking Company for a few years now. One thing we've discussed is that the bank is locally owned and operated. Well, how does that benefit your customer?
Tommy, projects and opportunities for expansion come up quickly for business owners. A locally owned and managed bank like North American Banking Company means decisions can be made just as quickly. We know Minnesota. We live in the communities we serve. So we have experience and firsthand knowledge for what's happening in your life where you live. That means decisions are made here. We don't ship them off or pass the buck someplace out of state. Finally, getting our customers quick answers allows them to take decisive action, and that's how business gets done.
Man, Michael, you're getting good at this.
Practice makes perfect.
Perfect? Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company? A better banking experience, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. If you're one of those folks out there still putting up with contact lenses or dealing with glasses, think just for a moment. What would it be like to wake up to a clear morning and experience your day with all the freedom LASIK brings? Well, I'm living proof. That dream can come true. Tom Bernard here for Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract. With the new year right around the corner, it's time to set your sights on 2020 vision. Get $500 off LASIK through the end of the year at Whiting Clinic. If you're like me, not a big fan of glasses and contacts, then it's time for you to find out if you're a candidate for LASIK. Call 855-554-2020 or visit whitingclinic.com for your free LASIK consultation. The great people at Whiting Clinic will take fantastic care of you, just like they did for me. Imagine 2020, buy 2020, and let 2020 be your best year yet with $500 off LASIK at Whiting Clinic.
Offer expires December 31st, 2019. Both eyes only. Cannot be combined. Results may vary.
Yep.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I'm just doing it anyway.
Not quite.
Samantha?
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 Samantha? God, she thinks. You should have seen Fawny at Sam's Christmas Village. When Santa came to the cabin, she folded up like a card table, went and hid in the corner.
Acted like a complete squirrel.
And what was the name, Timmy, what was the name of the psychotic man when Dracula first comes out of the coffin in the original version of Dracula?
I heard you talking about this morning. I think it's Renfield.
It is Renfield. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Because she sounded just like Renfield. She's like, it's like, God.
Sounds like fun.
Right? Oh, she was really whipped up about Santa. And all Sagey did was he gave Santa about high fives.
Yep. High fives.
Just kept giving him high fives the whole time he was there. But yeah, what a great thing. Timmy, did you hear the backup on that deal?
Yeah, you were talking about that. That's
Stillwater.
Great. That's great to hear, man.
They were backed up to Stillwater to get it. That's 8 miles.
Oh, wow.
Well, they also said they're like busloads of people that go up to Bentleyville, which is right outside, right in Duluth now.
Right in Duluth, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got so much snow that they're trying to dig it out. You
right.
can't even go through
Fun.
It. Yeah, it's
Only
a disaster
half
up
open,
there.
Yeah.
So some of the people that were going to go up to Bentleyville are now coming there, and they had no idea. He said, I didn't know. Were 10 people going to? John said, I don't know if 10 people were going to show up, and we didn't know if there was 1,000.
Yeah,
we had
know.
No idea what to do. So they didn't open up enough fields for parking.
Right.
So he was going to be plowing all of those.
Got to plow four times what he had now.
Yeah. So it should be better.
How many cars? How long is a car now? About 10 feet.
An average.
12 feet.
I'd say
yeah.
that sounds.
How
about
long
right?
are cars? Mm-hmm. Does anybody know?
Let's say 12.
Average car
just
length.
Just for fun.
Average car length.
Your car, 40 feet.
Yeah, that thing's 40 feet long.
God.
My God, that's a
it's
long.
It's longer
car.
Than my SUV.
It is. It's longer than an SUV, which is
it's
rather.
Well, Doug Sprinthal, call in.
15
Doug
feet
have
long.
The answer.
Well, it's 15 feet long.
15, oh.
Okay, so basically 1,500 feet would be 100 cars, 300 cars.
What are you doing?
380 cars times 8. That would be, about 2,500 cars. We're backed up waiting to get in.
Yeah, they were waiting an hour and a half to come in.
Fun.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Up to, yeah, an
or
hour
the,
and a
or
half.
30, was it 3,500?
I don't know. It's just a lot.
So 15 times, we're going to what? A mile is 5,280 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Divide that by 15.
Do we
somebody
have
to get
do
back
math?
To me.
Why?
No, because it's interesting to me to see how many cars were in line waiting to get in.
That'd be 350 cars per mile.
350 per mile?
Yep.
Really? That's all?
Well, I mean, not. That's if there were bumper to bumper, which.
No, that's true.
Which there, no, that's true.
Yeah.
So let's say 250 per mile. Right?
Sure.
250 cars per mile, so it was 1,250. Oh, no, it's times 8, isn't it? Oh, my God. That's a lot of people,
yeah,
man.
That's 2,000 cars.
2,000 cars.
Yeah.
But that makes sense because they said there were about 10,000 people.
Well, and they had different ways you could do it. You could just park and then go walk through it, or you can rent these little cabins.
Yep.
And Santa comes to visit the cabins. And I mean, they're very tiny cabins with no facilities, but they bring in cocoa and apple cider and s'mores, and they have a little fire pit outside the cabin, so you can, like, hang out there if you want. And they also have a restaurant on the on the property.
Good blue cheese hamburger.
Yeah, they've got good hamburgers. And the kids were just running around in their snow pants, just sliding down any little hill that they could find in their snow pants. And boys were just beating on each other and throwing each other in the snow.
Yeah, it was all about the little kids. The little kids just loved it.
It's a good place to bring kids, for
indeed, sure. It's true. So I have to ask you a question as we segue back into movies, Timmy.
Yes, sir.
Is that Bill Butflow or whatever his name is that's in that movie, Dark Matters? Is he any good? I don't know what his name is. It's something.
Clearly.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. Well, Bill Butflow.
Obviously, Mark is very vocal about things. And, you know, yes, celebrities taking to Twitter and whatever, saying whatever about whatever cause, that generally drives me nuts. But when you get a guy like Ruffalo who is, talking the talk, walking the talk or whatever, I mean, he's actually doing a film about it, which he has to know isn't going to bring a big box office.
No, right.
But at least, you got to give him credit at least for putting his money where his mouth is, I mean, I do give him credit for that. I'm not crazy about, like I say, I let you do your movie, play your tunes, whatever. That's what I want to see out of entertainers. But for a guy like Ruffalo, who could, probably just keep doing blockbusters, to do this, it's like, good on him, man. And certainly it's a story that people should be made aware of. DuPont chemical deal where it started, where there was some chemical runoff, allegedly, off of this pile, this landfill next to this farmer's land in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and killed a lot of his cattle. But they found out that the problem was a lot deeper than that. So,
right.
It's not a box office movie. It's not an audience movie. It's a critic movie. And, so I kind of look at it from both perspectives because, I think it's important to see. And on top of that, it moves. I mean, it's a 2-hour movie and it really isn't that boring. It's pretty fascinating stuff, in fact.
Did you ever interview him?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I did one time a long time ago, and he was not very friendly at all.
Really?
So he might have changed, but yeah, he was not. Well, it's the same as Steve Carell, though. I interviewed Steve Carell years ago. He was not friendly in the least.
Really? See, I've interviewed him a couple times, and he was very pleasant.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
me. His wife, yeah, it could be. His wife, yes, maybe this had something to do with it, though. His wife used to work at a bar, or I'm trying to think if she went to Augsburg. She was friends with my best friend, Brian, out here in the hinterland.
Oh, okay.
He worked with her. So, that's how I started the conversation about, your wife, used to go to school here and work with my best friend and da-da-da. So maybe that just opened it up for something that he didn't hear that day. And, because how these junkets are with, they make 1,000 phone calls. So, Carell was great. I haven't talked with him in a while, but, for what it's worth, he was good a couple times I've talked. As I've told you before, I mean, Costner was a jerk the first time I talked with him. And then I've talked to him a couple, 3 times since, and he was great.
He's a great guy. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Very, very friendly. Yeah, I wanted to know that because you often wonder about what the upside of being a jerk would be for a movie star, because nobody is a guaranteed success any longer. There used to be people. If somebody was in it, that would be a hit. It's not like that anymore at all.
Really, even if you're a complete social media suck-up?
Well, yeah, that would help.
Yeah,
that would help. Kiss enough ass. You know how that goes. It's all a wonderful thing. But no, I wondered about that because, and Carell, he wasn't really an overt jerk, but he was very, very close to the vest and he acted like he didn't have time to do a 6-minute interview.
Oh,
it's very important,
And by the way, The Office wasn't even a hit then. Yeah, The Office had just started out, so it wasn't even a hit yet.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, he was on The Daily Show, I thought.
Was he?
Before that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, like a correspondent or something like that.
Oh, that'd explain why he was a jerk.
Was it for the 40-year-old virgin? Was that during The Office time? It had to have been.
I think it's probably right. No, that would make sense because I literally talk to people and they're friendly and they're wonderful and all the rest of it. And then they attend one of these, you know, far lefty meetings and then all of a sudden I'm the worst person on earth.
40-year-old virgin was 2005.
That's about right. Yeah, so that would have been about right. Yep.
Might have been he got his big break and he got all cool.
I just think people like to fill up their, they yak in people's ears.
I think it has something to do with what they're promoting too, though.
Probably, yeah.
They know that they're in a movie or a TV show that sucks, and they're trying to feign that they're
right.
interested.
Yeah.
I talked with Harrison Ford a couple times. First time was for a movie called, can't remember what it was, but the movie was a stiff, and I could just tell he wasn't interested. He
Harrison
was very
Ford.
Staid. Well, he always is.
About
but
when
then I
would
talked
this
with
be?
Him. What's that?
About what year would this have been?
I think it was a movie called Firewall.
Firewall, huh?
Yeah, that was on
2006.
Yeah. Okay, so that was and he right. was like, okay, but Harrison's apparently tough anyway. But then
yeah,
I talked with him
right.
for a movie called 42, where he was Branch Rickey, and he loved playing that character, and
it was
a great film, and he was really terrific on The Call.
Hmm.
So I just think that. Sometimes, and with Carell, it was a movie called Dan in Real Life, which if you've never seen it,
yeah.
is a wonderful movie. And then the Get Smart movie. He played Smart.
Right.
And I think he was pretty good in that, but that was, you know what? I actually talked about one other time. It was for the Magic movie. What the hell was it? Him and Buscemi were in a movie where they played magicians.
Carell?
Yeah, Carell.
Really?
I don't remember that movie at all.
The Incredible Burke Wonderstone?
Yes.
Whatever the hell that is.
I've never even heard of that movie. Yeah. I need to get out of the house more often.
You know what? Did I talk with him?
I think in this case, maybe you don't.
Yeah. it was Buscemi. Talk about a tough interview.
Oh, he's a very tough interview. Oh, yeah. If you never get that tooth fixed.
Yeah. He's a very pleasant guy, but just one or two word answers.
Yep. You know who else is like that? Is Casey Affleck. Interviewing Casey, he's a very nice guy, but he doesn't talk at all.
Oh, I can see that. Like, just by watching him act, I can see where he's not.
Not a lot of.
I talked with him for the, what was it? The Robert, what the, Jesse James. It's a long
time. Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was pretty good for that. And his brother is, he was one of those guys you got for 5 minutes, and that was for Argo. And he was good, but you could just tell how polished he was at doing it.
You
just know all the answers, and you just kind of breeze through it.
Right. Andy, would you do me a favor? While we're talking about the Afflecks, would you look up Casey Affleck's Twitter account? Because the last time I checked on it, it was, "Hi, I'm on Twitter now," from like 10 years ago and nothing else.
A lot of people
smart
do that.
To stay off of it,
a lot of people
sure.
do that just to get that verification, so people don't open up accounts in their name.
That's very, very funny.
To pretend
like,
to be
"Hi,
somebody."
I'm on Twitter now. That's the last thing you ever posted. Like, okay, Casey, you having trouble finding it?
I don't know if this is actually the real account or what, but
does it get a verified thingy?
It does not.
No blue check. Well, then it's probably not.
It's probably not him then.
Well, but I don't know if that's just because he never bothered, because I don't think he's actually on.
What do you got?
Twitter, in any capacity other than this account that may or may not be real.
Yeah, he posted like, "I'm on Twitter now." It was the last thing I ever saw him post, which is very funny. But I haven't been on it now in 7 years, so I don't know either.
He used it a little bit in 2015, 2014.
I would never, ever go back on Twitter
much.
Again. Not a chance. No. Twitter's a filthy puke hole.
Twitter is awesome to get companies to do stuff that
they're
supposed to do in the first place.
Oh,
yes,
that's true, because you bitch about anything now, they'll just cave in every time.
Yeah, because
true.
they have agents watching those Twitter accounts like way better than phones or emails.
They've got to get on top of that outrage before it spreads.
But you know why they do that? Because they don't want you digging deeper and finding out the real crap they did. That's really the reason they do it. And I'm not talking about them specifically. These major corporations that just cave in, it's like, oh, we don't want them knowing about the other thing we did, so let's cave in. That's why they do that.
Well, I heard you talking this morning about that Santa Claus T-shirt with the lines of cocaine. Well,
lines of cocaine and the eight balls,
in front of, and I think that was sparked by social media complaints. The thing was, that wasn't even Walmart selling the shirt.
Did you just fart?
They have third-party companies on there. No, I didn't. That was a chair.
And you liar.
Sounded like...
Okay, let me see if I can do it again.
Muster,
Trying to muster a
fart. Bear down.
Bear down, Jimmy. Bear down. Come on.
Now, when you try to replicate it, it just doesn't...
I understand. We'll take a break here.
Chair and a wood floor.
We'll be right back. Anyway. More with Timmy Lammers right after this. What are the things you want to avoid when it comes time to sell your home? Hey, it's Tom with my realtor, Chris Lindahl. If you're like most people, it's things like open houses, staging, decluttering, repairs, maintenance, and all the people coming through your house.
Hey, Tom, the Guaranteed Offer Program from Chris Lindahl Real Estate was created for people like you so that you can avoid the things that you don't like doing when it comes time to sell your home. We have been presenting offers for homes in most price ranges. Homeowners are loving our Guaranteed Offer Program, especially how much money they are making on their home sale without the inconveniences.
So this program is for all price ranges and conditions, including perfectly maintained homes?
Most homes do qualify. To see if your home qualifies, go to chrislindahl.com and click Get Offer right now. Will you be the next homeowner to accept an offer from our Guaranteed Offer Program? Find out now. If you qualify, you will get an offer in 48 hours or less, and the best part is you get to pick a closing date that is convenient for you and close in as little as 3 weeks.
Go to chrislindahl.com right now to see if you qualify or call 763-401-SOLD. That is 763-401-SOLD. Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Right now, Sabre and Bryant are teaming up to offer 0% financing for 36 months when you buy a new Bryant furnace. This is the perfect time to replace your old furnace with a new trouble-free, energy-efficient furnace from Sabre. And when you buy Bryant equipment, you're getting one of the most trusted names in the industry. This 0% offer is available for a limited time. Call Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning to find out more, and please tell them that Tom sent you. Sabre and Bryant, whatever it takes.
It was Christmas Eve.
You've heard this.
Who is that?
It just says it's Fairy Tale New York featuring Christy McCall. It's the Pogues.
Yeah,
this is the number one Christmas song in England.
I know. It's the best drunk Christmas song ever.
The drunken lockup. Oh, God.
Oh, I love
it. It's really cheerful, isn't it? All right, before we continue on about Hollywood, I got to ask everybody a question. Timmy Lammers, tell me why someone would do this. Okay, you ready? The reason I'm asking is because people constantly do things now, and you go, why would you do that? You know? A reporter covering a race this weekend in Georgia got an unexpected and unwelcome greeting from one of the runners as she and race organizers made clear they weren't happy about it. NBC News reports that WSAV's Alexandra Bojarian was on the Talmadge Bridge in Savannah on Saturday, reporting live from the NMARC Savannah Bridge Run, when one of the race participants slapped her ass as he ran by.
Oh.
Why would a man do that in 2019? No. Why on earth would you do that?
Because he's not woke.
Because he's an immigrant? Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Oh, Thomas.
I don't know if he is or not. It's just a suggestion.
Oh, that's what that was.
In any case, a clip posted on Twitter shows Bojarian laughing as some of the runners got too close to her, including ones who mugged for the camera as they went by. Bojarian had just explained to viewers that some of the runners were even dressed in costume, and it was very exciting. Right as she said that, a man in sunglasses and a baseball cap jogged by and appeared to grope her. Oh, so he didn't slap her on the ass, he grabbed her butt.
What a jerk.
Bojarian seemed to seem thrown, and it took her a second or two before she went back to covering the race. Later that day, after the clip of what had happened started circulating, she addressed it on Twitter to the man who smacked my butt on live TV this morning. You violated, objectified, and embarrassed me. No woman should ever have to put up with that. You know, does anyone understand why a guy would do that in 2019?
I don't get it.
Well, Jesus.
No brains.
Yeah,
think
there
it
you
through,
go. No
pal.
Brains.
What are you doing? I don't know. Another thing, another question I have for you about this. And by the way, if the news media and you know and these politicians don't think they're pissing everybody off, have you seen how many women have punched other women in the face this past weekend?
No, I did not. Where is this happening?
There are like 10 of them across the United States. If they don't like the service they're getting, they'll just reach over the counter and punch the woman right in the face.
What? Why?
Yeah.
What?
Well, in one case, a woman asked for grape jelly.
Yeah.
And she inadvertently, accidentally got a package of ketchup. So she punched the woman right in the face over a packet of jelly. Great jelly.
Well, there's no consequences anymore.
No, and that's exactly what I'm saying.
You can shoplift $1,000 worth of stuff a day.
You
Why
shoplift,
not?
You can get in fights, you can do whatever you want to.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
So I don't understand. I really, this anger we have toward one another is going to get very, very, very dangerous. They're going to start burning neighborhoods down like they did in the 60s when I was a kid. It's got to stop. Somebody's got to put a clamp on this whole thing. Don't you think?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I watched a really weird old movie yesterday.
What'd you watch?
It Happened on Fifth Avenue.
I don't know that one.
I never had heard of it before either, so I was all excited. It was
People got
1947.
Rich.
1947.
It happened on Fifth Avenue. Everyone got rich and retired.
No, it was about a wealthy guy who was pretending that he was a homeless
Santa?
Guy.
Oh, homeless, okay.
Because his daughter didn't want her boyfriend, possibly fiancé, to be marrying her for her money or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And truthfully, I missed the first 20 minutes. So it was actually a really, really cute movie. And if anybody likes those old movies, black and white movies, I would definitely watch it.
Well, see, that's a question I have, Andy. You as a millennial might have a take on this. Why is it that my generation... Is it because our parents were considered the greatest generation, fought in World War II and all that? Because we went back and looked at all the things, like whether it was movies or music or whatever it was, books, all that stuff. We went back and watched it and read it and do all those things. Why do you think millennials don't do that with boomers?
I don't feel like it's actually really that much different.
You don't really?
No.
Well, they refuse. They literally, they don't want houses that look like the ones their parents, they grew up in. They don't want any of that stuff. I don't know why.
That's how it's always been. Every 20 years, every house is different because everyone wants to build it differently than it was before.
I guess.
Yeah, you have a point there.
I guess it's true.
That's true.
So, Timmy, what do we got coming up in Hollywood? What do you got coming up on TV? Anything good?
Good week, man. Well,
really?
I haven't seen it yet, but Jumanji, the next level, is opening this week. And I have already seen and will also be talking about Richard Jewell.
I heard that's really good.
It looks good.
Yeah, it is really good. And talk about the news media jumping on a story that they didn't have all the facts. And
oh, yeah.
You know what happened with him.
Oh, that he ended up dying very young.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, he was a flawed individual. There's no question about that. And Eastwood doesn't stray from that fact. This is directed by Clint Eastwood, so you know it's going to be good. You know, it also shows how, you know, somebody acted on a tip and, you know, published before they really looked into the matter. And next thing you know, it's like a virus that just spread and it was out of control. And, you know, everybody was covering the fact that this guy is a suspect in the bombing.
Right.
And they ruined his life.
They did. They ruined his life.
Oh, my God. So the guy that plays him, Paul Walter Hauser is his name. I really hope he gets recognition. He hasn't so far for the Golden Globes or I vote for the Critics' Choice Awards. And he wasn't nominated for that either. He was the, I don't know if you remember the heavyset guy that was in the movie I, Tonya. Yes. He is. That's the guy who plays Richard Jewell.
Oh.
And he is really, really good. And Kathy Bates is in it, and Sam Rockwell, and Ham. What's his name?
John Ham.
What's John? John Ham. John yep. Ham and Olivia Wilde. So great cast. You know, Eastwood is just so brilliant, and yeah, he doesn't hold back any punches when it comes to pointing out, you know, how the media reacted to Richard possibly being involved, and. They all kind of came to the conclusion that of his makeup, you know, who he was, you know, a middle-aged white male, whatever, that, oh, he's the sort of guy that would do this sort of thing. And that's kind of how they operated on with the investigation. There was no concrete evidence of any sort.
You know, it's really weird. They've been headhunting white men since World War II, haven't they?
Pretty much.
They just love to go after white men because apparently they've been in charge for too long or something. I don't
know. They don't fight
well, the
back.
Thing with Richard Jewell was he was a go-getter, and he just so desperately wanted to be a not only a law enforcement officer, but a great law enforcement officer that served the people, you know, but he was a little too aggressive about it, you know? He's the sort of guy that makes everybody else look bad because he's just kicking ass at the job. But again, he was arrested at one point in his life for impersonating a police officer. And
I can't
remember what the facts were about that. But yeah, again, so, you know, they show that he is a very flawed individual. And again, it's the acting, it's the story. I'm sure. Well, I think there's already one controversy about the reporter who broke the story about how the studio is they're standing behind Eastwood. But somebody's saying, oh, no, that didn't happen. So there's disputes going on about the facts of the movie or anything, stuff like
God.
That. But you have to see it. And again, this is a one that'll be up for Screen Actors Guild's consideration, et cetera. So I'm sure you'll get the screener. But it's worth seeing in the theater, too.
The screener starts showing up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what, Tom? The interesting thing with this one was... and I think it actually hurt them with my organization that I vote for. They didn't send out a screener, but they had a digital. They had a link.
Yeah, right.
And I just think people aren't quite, you know, there's so much going on when they get all these screeners that they're not, you know, they got what's in front of them, and that's what they see. And you know, otherwise a link buried in an email is not going to resonate with a lot of people, and I think it really hurt them. Voting. Now, Kathy Bates was nominated, though, for a Golden Globe, so I'm glad for that because she's always.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this one on, you know, digitally, Richard Jewell, instead of a screen. But you, one way or the other, hopefully you'll get the opportunities.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, we were trying to watch some of those links, and it was really, you couldn't get them from your computer onto your TV.
I know.
Without some sort of weird cord or something. So I was like, who wants to sit there and watch it on a computer?
Not me.
Well, this is the interesting thing with this one. I love it. It was Warner Brothers did it with all their films. They, you could download an app from, what's our favorite that we use? The Roku.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And yeah, so streaming it. So yeah, so
nice.
I actually streamed it. But
that's a good idea.
Yeah, and they offered that along with several other films that they did offer, you know, with regular DVD screeners. But I actually have to admit, I liked it a lot more just being able to stream it.
Yes.
Again, when you do something forever, like the Academy is trying to get a thing put together where they'll have a streaming channel. I just think it's going to be a while before people get acclimated for it. And I think it showed that it could potentially hurt the prospects for voting because it was shut out with a critic's choice. And
really?
I was shocked by that, yeah. I was shocked by that because they love, the critics love Eastwood.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Anyway.
I don't know what to tell you, but yeah, I forgot all about it. So when do the screeners start coming out? Is that after Christmas or is it before Christmas?
Well, see, the thing is, yeah, it all depends. I mean, because the Golden Globe nominations were this morning. Critics' Choice was yesterday. So I started getting stuff at the end of October. But again, I suppose it's all in your timeline with voting, the voting deadline for SAG.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
You know, and I think that's probably in early January. So I would imagine you're going to start getting stuff pretty soon.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, maybe like right away.
But we get stuff way, way early. You know, it's, you know, but now I think things are going to start becoming refined. And the studios that send out something that they hope might have got a nomination, if you didn't get it, then you won't get it. You know, but something like Richard Jewell, doesn't matter. You're gonna get something.
Yeah, no, absolutely right.
It's Eastwood, man. He's coming out with a movie a year. The dude is 88 years old.
He's 88. That's very cool.
Yeah, everybody thought that last one, The Mule, was going to be his final film.
That's what they thought. Well, the one final one he's going to appear in, apparently.
Oh.
I don't think he's going to act anymore.
He isn't?
Yeah, he was actually supposed to be done before that, but, you know, the role suited him perfectly.
It did.
Why not do it?
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You are 100% correct. Well, look, that's one of the reasons I love the whole holiday season too. You start getting those screeners, and we got all the movies, and I really wish I loved
really
movies.
It becomes really handy when it's snowy like this, when you know you don't have to go to a screening.
Timmy, I'm going through a tough period in my life right now because, you know, once again your Gophers kind of caved in at the end, and I certainly will watch the Auburn Gopher game, but your Minnesota Vikings are supposed to be good again this year, and they might not even make the playoffs and that whole deal. And then the movies Catherine and I have seen lately have been dreadful. I used to love to watch sports and go to the movies. What happened?
I don't know. I just think, to me, and I think you guys know this already, I mean, I just want something original. And it's just so hard for a studio to come up with something original nowadays.
Yeah.
And Richard Jewell, even though I knew the story, it would still seem fresh to me as far as a film was concerned. Or Dark Waters, for that matter. You know, it's addressing a topic that, you know, you think back, well, Aaron Brockovich, my God, how long ago was that? Where, you know, he was a little guy taking on the big corporation sort of movie. I mean, it just doesn't come that often. So I just kind of boil it all down to the lack of originality. And then you think about something like The Terminator, where they think they're going to reboot it, and that thing was a complete stiff. So people are sick of that. That franchise has to be dead
now. I would hope so.
Because they've given it how many tries now trying to keep that thing alive. So, yeah, that has something to do with it. But I'm taking it by your silence, Tommy. You haven't seen The Irishman yet.
I have not. We were going to do it, but then Friday night, we only got about 25 seconds, but I'll tell you very quickly. Friday night, I ran down to go to the store at Springgate Plaza right there in Golden Valley. As I'm walking into the store, there's a young man and his lovely wife or partner or whatever. She's holding a baby, and they have three little kids between the ages of about 3 and 7. All three little kids and the dad had bells they were ringing for the Salvation Army.
Aww.
And it made my night. I literally, it cheered me up that parents were out there showing kids how they should act. That yes, I know it's cold out here, but we're going to try to help people to give them their kids that lesson. And it was funny because, you know, I threw some dough at them for the Salvation Army. I go in to do shopping, and I come back out of the store, and a father comes up, and he goes, "Are you Tom?" I said, "Yeah, how'd you know that?" Nobody recognized me. You know, I don't go on TV or all that stuff. He goes, I could tell by your voice. But he said he appreciated the fact that I told his children, "You're doing a wonderful job here. Thank you."
Oh, that's cool.
The fact that I would thank his children for ringing the bell was really a big deal to him and his wife. They're wonderful people.
That
cheered me up Friday night, so I couldn't watch a gangster movie. I'm in too good a mood to watch a gangster movie. But then, the Sam's Christmas thing on Saturday was the KQ listeners at that place were.
Lord above, there were.
Holy Christ.
There were throngs of them.
And it just, that was in a great mood.
Regarding
The
Irishman, I'll tell you, there's been a disturbance in the force because Candace watched it over the weekend and loved it, but Mr. Sprinthal was kind of so-so on it.
Sprinthal didn't care for
it. So, you know, it's interesting. Now, you know, Mike Bryan, of course, and I, we both love the film. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fun that, you know, people are offering different opinions about it, you know. So that's where it's going to be interesting to see where you and Catherine come down in the whole thing. Or Cassie or Andy, are you interested in seeing it at all?
I am. I just haven't had time to watch it.
You didn't have a week
to watch
a movie. It's hard
to find time for a two-hour movie, less a three-and-a-half-hour movie.
Dave and I have been trying to binge The Mandalorian right now, so we're trying to get through that to get to The Irishman.
Mm.
What is a Mandalorian?
He's a bounty hunter. It's a type of
Someone from Mandalore.
But what's Mandalore?
It's a planet.
Another dystopian universe?
Yeah. It's a Star Wars. It's a Star Wars thing.
Oh, it's a Star Wars thing.
Yes, and everybody's losing their mind over Baby Yoda because he's so freaking cute.
Oh, is that right?
He is.
Baby Yoda makes me not want to watch it.
No, it's cute. You're going to watch
He's a cute kid. I'm not watching that.
Yoda wasn't always a million years old.
It's funny.
Well, the thing is with that, Cassie, they don't have any toys or anything available
or
Yoda dolls because John Favreau, who created the show, didn't want to give away the secret. So obviously merchandising materials can give away a lot for a film like that or a TV show. So they didn't give it to any merchandisers. So now everybody wants a Baby Yoda for Christmas.
Well, that would be brilliant to package it with a Mandalorian action figure, the Mandalorian, with him holding Baby Yoda, because that's what he does throughout the whole series. He carries around this Baby Yoda.
It'll happen.
So
it'll
be like Barbie, you know, babysitter Barbie, instead of it being a Barbie doll, it's going to be the Mandalorian.
I guess it'll be the Easter gift of the year.
Yeah. It'll all work out in the end. All right, Timmy, another brilliant performance is all I know.
Well, thank you, sir. Again, Jumanji and Richard Jewell on Thursday.
By the way, Andy, when you said the name of the movie, Jumanji, Andy cringe because he and I saw the first Dwayne The Rock Johnson Jumanji movie. We were sitting in special seats that I paid more for.
Mm. And these young people,
showed up and sat in seats they didn't pay for and were on their phones the entire movie.
Yep.
I mean, talking on their phones.
Why didn't we yell at them?
They tried their best to ruin it.
No, they did. They tried to best
to
ruin
the
movie.
You didn't yell at them because I wasn't there. I love that.
I'm the yeller.
You know what, though? If I can recall correctly, you were also at Mary Poppins and somebody crapped their pants.
That is correct.
Yeah, you had a bad run there for a while.
I'll take the phones over the crap in the pants.
Why does it have to say run? You had a great run there. It wasn't me that laid down the deuce. It was somebody else.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It was not you. I'm backing you up here.
Well, yes, I saw it twice. Oh, I wasn't there. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
I didn't know you wanted to chime in.
I'm not hurt at all.
Here, this
well, apparently,
you up, Tom. This
Tom
okay.
was there.
Oh, is this a Yoda?
For the record.
This is Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Oh, God. I saw that in the newspaper.
Isn't that cute?
Very cute. Nice ears. That's all I have to say.
I want one.
All right, Timmy, we will talk to you on Thursday on the show and then Monday next week.
Absolutely. Well, have a great week, everybody. Drive safe out there, man. It's treacherous.
It is.
It's treacherous.
Stay home. Just stay home.
We will get it done. Thank you, Mr. Lammers.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll be back.